And the herb of the field you shall eat of it. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. I find it interesting in that, as I was doing the preparation for this study, that he said, God told Adam, he said, cursed is the ground for your sake. And it's bringing forth thorns and thistles for you. I don't know about you, but I'm not real crazy about thorns and thistles. Not real crazy about the idea of being the ground being cursed for my sake. For my sake. Studying Ecclesiastes about the vanity of vanities. And the writer talks about work and work being vanity. He also tells us a little bit, to lighten it up a little bit, that it's good that a man should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of his labor. Of his labor. God also did something else for man to help him out. He created a helpmate. Just before that curse, he created a helper. And in preparing for this lesson, I thought, you know, a great example to us as we look at our lives that we know we have to work. We must work. A great example is the virtuous wife. Turn to Proverbs chapter 31. I appreciate the opportunity this morning to speak to you. Appreciate the confidence of the elders that they have in me. Find this task to be very serious, and I find you a friend if I say something that's out of line with the scriptures, that you bring it to my attention. Proverbs 31, we start with the virtuous wife this morning. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to get one. If you don't have one, raise your hand. Somebody will hand you one out of the pew. But we'll stay within this section of this virtuous wife. For the most part this morning, we may flip to some other scriptures as time allows. But I find no better example. And also, I'm going to add to you, there's a group here this morning that needs to really pay attention to this lesson. You really need to pay attention. There's a group here that needs to take the more earnest heed to the things we're going to say this morning. Okay? A particular group. And it's you, us, men. It's us men. This lady is a great example in many areas. And a lot of times as I look out and kind of just watch people of the world and different men, I find a lot of times the women will outwork the men. And I see that a lot. I saw it a lot when I worked at Calsonic, a factory. I saw it a lot. Many of the women I had working under me, and Dickie's kind of nodding his head a little bit, that I find this sometimes. That I'll see a woman outworking a man. So men, I think we need to take particular attention to this, self-included on this. That we need to pay particular attention to some of the attributes of this woman. Her characteristics, her discipline. He starts out in verse 11. Let us read here. Verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. I find something here, that trust between the two of them, that has a direct effect upon the prosperity of the family, is directly tied to this woman and him being able to trust her. You see what it says there in verse 11, so he will have no lack of gain. I find this, it's a little bit hard to get our mind wrapped around, is how is it that him trusting her has that effect on the household and their prosperity, you see. It's about that trust. What's he able to do? She does him good in verse 12, and not evil all the days of her life. So this trusting her, this no lack of gain, her doing him good and not evil, that all contributes to the livelihood of this family. And we're going to see more about her. Look at verse 26. I find all this to be under this topic of trustworthiness. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is a law of kindness. We'll see this point in other we'll see this principle in other points of the lesson this morning. But he trusts that she will say the things that need to be said and not say the things that don't need to be said. The law of kindness, law of wisdom is in her mouth. In verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord. She fears the Lord, and he safely trusts in her because he sees that attribute in her that she fears the Lord. And then that drives all of her other characteristics, this fear of the Lord. She has purpose in her life. Let's notice in verse 13. Verse 13, what does she do? She seeks. She seeks. She goes out with purpose every morning. And man, this is where I think it gets to us. That as she sets out seeking, that she has a plan. I think we see that in her. She has a plan. And she's seeking wool and flax. And she willingly works with her hands. Not grudgingly. Not spitefully, that she's willingly working. She's seeking the wool and flax because she knows there's an end to this. She knows there's an end to this. Seeking is the first step in her job. And we will see that later also. Let's go to verse 27. Talking about her having purpose, but she watches over the ways of her household. That she's attentive. She knows what's going on and she's looking for things that need to be done, men. She's looking for things that need to be done. Not waiting on that to-do list, men, like we may have to have written out for us. All right? She's watching. She's looking. Doing those things that need to be done. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Don't know about you, but the first time I see the bread, what is the bread of idleness? What can that be? You know what I'm thinking about? The idle man. The man that doesn't have much money. The man that is poor. Poor because of his lack of wanting to get up and work. Not needy or not poor because of some kind of outside circumstance. But the poor man, because he's idle, because he chooses to be idle. What kind of bread does that man eat? He's going to eat the cheapest bread he can possibly find. But the man that works, the man that's not idle, the man that's diligent, he is able to afford the better bread. And that's the bread we should strive for. Not the bread of idleness, you see. That's where I take that in. When you think about when Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, he said, drink and enjoy the fruits of your labor. That when you work and eat, you can afford to buy the better foods. And we're going to see more in line with that as we go through the study about what she buys for her family. She cares for her family. Verse 14. She is like the merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. There's two points I think we find here in verse 14. The first is kind of this business idea that we're going to see in her in another point. But her being like a merchant ship could be two things. The first is she brings in food to resell. And she brings it from afar because she knows there's value. She knows there's value in that food. She knows she can mark it up, she can resell it. The second thing could be, in caring for her family, that she could bring in the quality food for her family. She makes the necessary plans, does the necessary work to bring in food for her family, that her family may enjoy the higher quality foods as part of watching over her household. Verse 15, talk about her caring for her family. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. You see her getting up to go right along with her having purpose. She gets up while it's yet night, preparing for her family, preparing for her children, preparing for her husband, making sure they have the food they need as they go out into labor into the fields. She knows that's her job. She takes it seriously. Verse 21. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed with scarlet. Scarlet's usually referenced to red, but you find some meanings for this. Be a double-dipped garment. Been dipped twice, making it the scarlet color. And also a reference toward a type of fabric is what I found. You look through the meaning of this term. The idea is her caring for her family. And she's not afraid of the snow because she has purpose. She has risen early. She has made the necessary plans. She's made the necessary garments for her family, that they may be clothed and not be in want when winter comes. Verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom and her tongue is the law of kindness. Part of her caring for her own family. You can see her being compassionate toward her husband, toward her children, and not being, not trying to be lord over her husband or tyrant to her servant. Insolent to neighbors. She's cared. She cares and she's concerned for those in her household. Verse 27. Also part of her caring, again, we're going to see this, she watches over the ways, that she's concerned about her household and she's not eating the bread of idleness because she knows she has a household to take care of. She's an entrepreneur. Let's look at verse 16. It's most impressive about this lady. But she considers, stop her in verse 16, that she considers. She's giving a little thought. She's doing a little planning. She knows she has a family to care for. She knows that needs will arise, that needs financial needs will arise, and there must be some income for the family. And she considers. She takes it upon herself to think about doing something to make money. What does she buy? She buys a field. Makes that purchase. She has laid aside money, whether from her or her husband, as they work together, and she buys the field. And she goes further with it from her profits. Obviously, that entrepreneur spirit, that she's made money. She's made enough money to set that aside that they may buy and trade and resell items. And she plants it. Part of this entrepreneur, this work ethic that she has, she plants a vineyard. Now, whether it's from land that she has bought and resold or the land she bought, and having this plan together that she's going to plant a vineyard, knowing that that will create a residual income for the family. And that's more income for this family, that they may be able to sustain themselves well and not be in want. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is good. Talking about a lady that's perceptive about what she's buying and what she's making, what she's producing, what she's selling. She's mindful of that quality. Very, very diligent woman. Her lamp does not go out by night. So what do we see first? In verse 15, that she rises while it is yet night. And what happens here? Her lamp does not go out by night. I mean, we've seen people like this. They're up before dawn and they're still working when the sun goes down. And I think this is a great example of us, of the work ethic that this lady has to make sure the family's taken care of. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds a spindle. We saw in previous verses, in verse 13, that she seeks wool and flax. That's the beginning of the process. First, she has to have the raw material and then the distaff and the spindle in preparation for making her garments. So the idea here is that the lady, she's not afraid to work. We've seen that. She's willingly working. And she stretches out and gets involved with the work. Not afraid to get her hands dirty. And her hand holds the spindle. In verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. So you think about her business, that she sets out, she seeks wool and flax. First, I can envision this woman wanting to find quality wool and flax. This is her first thing. That's why she seeks it. Then she goes to the distaff and the spindle, making that thread, that yarn ready. And then she makes the garment. She makes it, and she perceives that her merchandise is good, verse 18. So you see a lady that's concerned about her product from start to finish, from start to finish. And something else I find in verse 24, and supply sashes for the merchants. Think of two things. She's got an abundance of these sashes that she's marketing, selling, and also she may supply them for her merchants. Great business idea. If I'm in the business of making a sash, why not give them to my merchants and let them be walking advertisement for my product? Huh? This lady, she's pretty sharp, pretty smart lady. She's concerned for the poor. They're in verse 20. That she's planned, she's concerned enough about making money, she's diligent in her work ethic, and now she has the opportunity to extend her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. But she's not a greedy woman. She's not a greedy woman. She's concerned for the poor and the needy. She wants to do what she can to help. I think with her great work ethic, she's probably going to the poor man and saying, let me give you a hand. Let me get you up off the couch and let's go to work out here in my vineyard. Or why don't you carry this wool back for me and we're going to start using it. I think we see that character in this lady that, yeah, she's going to help, but also she's going to help you get started on the right direction. I think of several things as we look in the Leviticus 19, verse 9, the writer, God told him, hey, you leave the corners of your fields. Don't glean the grapes completely, but you leave it so the poor could go harvest it, you see. The poor man could go harvest it. He could go get it, requiring him to at least do some little work. Matthew 6:33, we see there. We always quote that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Let's back up a few verses. What's he talking about there? Don't worry about those things, the cares of this world, food and clothing. God knows what you need, but when you seek His righteousness, you will seek to work. You will seek to provide for yourself. That's part of being righteous, is working for yourself and toiling for your own bread. Also see in Ecclesiastes 2, we studied this last week. Ecclesiastes writer said there is a great evil, and that is when a man works and he leaves his heritage to someone that has not worked for it. He not only said it's an evil, he said it's a great evil. It's a great evil for a man not to have to work for that. I'm not saying we're not going to help the poor and needy. That's in a different context. I think the idea is that the man that works needs to work for his own good. I also see something else in Ecclesiastes 2:26. The writer there says, God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight, but to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give to him his good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. Another reason a man needs to seek God and his righteousness. Get right with God, and then everything else will be added to you. And Ecclesiastes writer tells us the sinner, his days are going to be hard. They're going to be difficult. Ephesians 4:28, let him who steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. So yes, she's concerned for the poor, but I also think she's going to edify and admonish him. It's time to get to work. It's time to get to work. She's self-rewarding. And I think it's one thing that we definitely see in Ecclesiastes as we study through Ecclesiastes. Through the whole book, we're going to see this, that we do not need to be afraid to spend some of our money on ourselves. Eat, drink, and enjoy the fruits of our labor. And here we see that she's self-rewarding. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Now, as you think about this fine linen, first let's go tapestry. First, she would have made garments for her household. She would have made garments for the tables, for the couches, things that she wanted for her house. I think it's the idea here. She makes it for herself, that she's not afraid to reward herself out of her labors. And her husband definitely is going to support that. And then the fine linen. You think back when Pharaoh rewarded Joseph over the land of Egypt. He gave him a signet ring and also gave him fine linen. This would have been what royalty would have worn, was fine linen. So here we see the virtuous wife rewarding herself. And men, I think it's one thing to let your wives enjoy, have things she wants. Let her enjoy some of the fruits of her labor. Because this would have not been just a cheap garment that this virtuous wife would have had for herself. It would have been fine linen and purple. We know Lydia was a seller of purple. Purple is a kind of a symbol of royalty, an expensive dye. So we don't see her holding back on the things that she wanted because she has worked to enjoy them. She is of a good reputation. Verse 23. It's almost like he's getting credit for her. You see here in verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. It's almost like that he reaps the benefits because this section is about her, right? Why do they throw him into it? That he sits. Behind every successful man is a good woman. You've heard that phrase before, right? That because she possesses these characteristics, he gets to enjoy that. The two become one flesh, right? They are a team here. And because of her great attributes, he's known in the gates. Think this idea of sharing this burden together and working together and appreciating her. Let's go to verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. I think we've got a kind of a double concept here, that she's strong. She's not weak. She's not fragile. That she has some strength about her mentally. And we see that by other characteristics, that she gets up early. She works. She's seeking the wool. She's considering the field. She's planting a vineyard. The first thing is strong mentally. The first thing is being strong mentally. Because if you're not strong mentally, then the rest of this is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You first have to deny yourself and get up and go and do. So that's her strength and honor. She's an honorable woman because of this discipline, because of what she chooses to do. She's honorable because in verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom and her tongue is the law of kindness. That's her strength and honor. She's self-controlled. She's disciplined. I think also we could use this strength and honor of her clothing. What does that say about what she makes? What does that say about her product? It is strong. It is durable. Yes, that's what she would make. This woman would make a good product, and it would be an honor to wear it. I think that application works for me as I study this. And she shall rejoice in time to come. Due to her mental strength, her honor, her clothing, quality products, all of that, in time to come, she will rejoice because she has been diligent. Sound business practices. Men, pay particular attention to this if you're ever thinking about getting in business. That you can look to this woman and you can draw some great applications as you look upon your business. The first, I think you can go back. Let's rise early. First, gentlemen, and be ready to stay up late. So they're not listed here, but that's the first two things. She makes the linen garments and sells them. We see her starting with the wool and flax. She starts with the raw product. She goes to the distaff and the spindle, making the yarn, and then puts that into a finished product. Literally trying to capture all the profit out of this product that's possible. She is trying to capture all the profit she can and ensure the quality. That is a sound business practice, is what that is. And then her supplying sashes for her merchants. I think that other, I'm going to give that product away as advertisement for what I'm making. Because my family, our livelihood depends on the profitability of my company. Let's go to verse 25 again. The strength and honor, that's that quality of the clothing. And it will pay off in due time. It may cost at first, but in due time it will pay off. Another sound business practice. She opens her mouth with wisdom and her tongue is the law of kindness. How many businesses have been killed just by the attitude of the owner. I see them often. I see them very often. They do not open their mouth of wisdom, and their tongue is not the law of kindness. They act like you are a burden coming into their store and asking for their product. She's praised by all. Verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. I think we see here the idea. We know she's disciplined, right? We have proven she's disciplined. We also proven by the context, the text, that she opens her mouth with wisdom and her tongue is law of kindness. And her children call her blessed. Because she's disciplined with her children. She's loving to her children. But she also requires her children to be disciplined as well. And in turn, that brings on respect, a respect between them. And also her husband. Her husband also. And he praises her. Due to this great relationship between the husband and the wife, because they're in this together, right? They're in this together. They're in this walk through life together. They're in this business together. He has no lack of gain because of her. He is praised in the gates because of her. So in turn, he praises her. He is appreciative for her. Verse 30. Or 29. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. You think about the writer looking around. And I don't know, as you read through this, like I say, he's looking at one woman. Or he's looking at different women. And he sees virtuous women as he looks around. And he sees these characteristics, different characteristics in them all. And the things they do. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. He looks at her and she just takes his breath because of her characteristics. And who she is and what she stands for. You excel them all is what he tells her in verse 29. In verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. That this woman, this virtuous wife, this woman I see that's disciplined and caring, that's beauty. Listen to me, young ladies. That's beauty. It's not the outside. It's what's on the inside. And that's what he sees here. What's he tell you? Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the beginning of it all, isn't it? That's the beginning of it all. But a woman who fears the Lord, it all begins there. With fearing the Lord. And then all these things will be added. He goes on to say, give her of the fruit of her hands. That she's deserving. That's that self-rewarding idea. Give her of the fruit of her hands. Let her enjoy it. Let her do with it as she pleases. You can safely trust her to do what's right, so let her enjoy it. And let her own works praise her in the gates. Those things she's worked so hard to make, the effort and the sweat that she's put in to sustaining the family and ensuring the economy of her family, of her household. Let that works praise her. So what have we seen this morning? Virtuous wife is trustworthy. She has purpose in her life. She cares for her family. She's an entrepreneur. She cares for the poor. She's self-rewarding. She's of good reputation. She has great business practices, sound business practices, and she's praised by all. If you're here with us this morning, I want to draw kind of a parallel for you that Jesus Christ is called the bridegroom. The church is His bride. And we make up His church. And the day is coming that our Lord is going to come into our house. He's coming to our house to see if we've been virtuous. Virtuous man is found, I think, over in Job. A virtuous man. But the day is coming that we must answer. Jesus Christ is going to come home to us. He's going to see how disciplined have we been? How caring and concerned for ourselves, our families, and our souls? Have you been concerned for that? And this morning, if you're here and you hadn't put on Jesus Christ in baptism, now's the time. If you're a Christian and you've fallen away, you've got sin in your life, now's the time to correct that. because you may not have another opportunity. And we'd encourage you, if you're subject to the invitation, to come as we stand and sing.